Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Rajiv Escana for immigration.com, Law Office of Rajiv Escana, PC. Today is October 20th, Thursday. This is a community conference call. By participating in it, you do not become our clients and we do not become your lawyers. This is a community conference call for informational purposes only as a community service from our office to you folks. This call is being recorded. If you do not wish your voice to be propagated, please don't speak up. You can hang up if you want. But if you do speak up, you may want to keep your identity confidential. Today, we are going to have plenty of time to take extra questions. We have only, I think, three questions posted, and they are pretty quick, easy to deal with. So I'm going to get started on the posted questions first, and then we'll take it from there. One second. First question is from Jeho. GC EB2 I-140 approved and H-1B visa rejected. So this is somebody whose I-140 is approved, and they went to India in the meantime. I'm assuming that's India. And they're stuck there because their H-1B visa got rejected. So now the priority date is current. So the question is, I've left my previous company with which I got my I-140 approved, and I have not started PERM process again. So what are the choices available with me for filing I-485 or consular? First of all, you can never do I-485 if you are outside USA. So that's out. Consular processing is possible only if your old employer, the one who processed your I-140, is still willing to offer you a job, the same job for which the green card was done, and you are willing to accept that job. Okay? So if the job is not there, you cannot file the last step. Next question. I'm not sure how much help I can get from my employer. I would like to know if I can hire services from an immigration lawyer. Lawyer cannot do anything unless your employer is willing to go forward. A lawyer cannot do anything. How much time do you think the green card process will take from here in case green card is still possible? If green card were still possible, and if you were to go through consular processing, I would suspect, let me take a step back. I know at least one case in which Chennai Consulate has accepted consular processing through AC-140. AC means attorney certified. What they do is, if your employer was willing to go forward with your case and you were to explain to Chennai Consulate that, look, guys, I'm stuck here and I've got my green card now and, you know, I would like you to accept AC-140. The reason for that is this. Normally, when we file an I-140, we indicate that we want to eventually file adjustment of status. But in this case, we want to not file adjustment of status. We want to do consular processing. So how do you convert the case? You convert the case by filing, I think it's form I-824, yes, A-24. That itself takes 5-6 months to process. So to circumvent that lengthy process, sometimes consulates can accept a package certified by the lawyers directly instead of going through the 824 process. So you could actually cut this process down to maybe 5-6 months. In other words, if the old employer were to offer you the job and you were to do AC-140 and the consulate were to accept it, you could have the green card wrapped up in 5-6 months. If not that, if you went through the regular process, maybe about a year. Okay? Next question, Agar 2003. This is somebody who is in a country other than their home country. They are going to be in UK. So they need to apply for F2 visa so they can come and visit their wife who's an F1, obviously. Can I apply for F2 visa from U.S. consulate in UK? Yes, you can. What is the rejection rate? I have no idea. How much time would it take to obtain the F2 visa? It depends. Most consulates, it is either an overnight process or maybe 3-4 days. I heard that U.S. embassies in India are taking months to do background verification, not in every case. Is it going to be the same in U.K.? I don't think so, but I have no way of knowing. Every case is different. With the new rules on OPT, how long would my visa be given for? Typically, the F2 visa is given for the same duration that the visa for your wife is given, typically. But because you're not applying with her, I suspect you will have at least for 1 year, maybe more. Last question that I have today posted is Andrew GC, who said, I have a pending 485 in EB3. The current company that I work for has a sister company, and they can also apply in EB2. Number one, can they start my application process, and can I join them after my GC gets approved? Yes. Is this possible? Yes. Number two, this company was formed in April 2008, but my EB3 priority date is November 2004. So is it possible to port when the PD is older than the company? Yes, of course. Of course. No problem at all. Number three, do they have to produce taxes from 2004? No, they do not. They have to produce taxes, tax returns only from the date they start your green card. Do not confuse porting of the priority date with porting of all the obligations related to the priority date. They are not obligated to produce anything before the time they actually started your green card. So if they start your green card in 2011, they only have to produce taxes from 2011 forward, not backward. That pretty much answers all the questions that we have posted. Now, folks, anybody out of these three people who have posted something for me, if they have a follow-up question, press *5 on your phone. A follow-up question by the three people who have posted. *5 on your phone. Okay. Nobody here, at least they don't have any follow-up question. Oh, there is one. Hang on 1 second. Two. Okay. Right now I'm only taking follow-up questions from the people who have posted. So there's two. Let's see. Area code 201, go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Drew here.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Follow-up question was, though, so when applying, though, I shouldn't worry about getting taxes from the old company or anything, just whatever the date application goes from, just worry about from then on?
You got it.
Like anything else? Is porting also difficult to do? Will this hinder my EB?
No, not at all difficult. Very easy. Just make sure the old company does not revoke your I-140. That's all.
No, I think because that should be fine, because even that is all over. Yeah, that should be, I think, fine.
This is a great option. This will work fine. No problem.
Because it's better than waiting, God knows what, 10, 15 years now, whatever the date catches up until.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
The way things are going, your son will be in college by the time you get your green card. Things are not good.
So this is pretty much the best option. I should go for it, right?
That's what I would do, absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Next question is from somebody whose phone number doesn't show up, so I'm assuming it's voice over IP. Go ahead, please.
Hi,
hello,
sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm calling from India. It's my posting my question on the contact list. Because I'm calling from the road. My girlfriend.
Sir, I can't hear you. Can you talk louder?
Yeah. See, I'm calling from India.
Right, I got that.
Okay, I'm calling from India. I'm 25 years old, unmarried, and my girlfriend is 45 years old.
Arre bhai saab, I had asked, hang on one second. I had asked people who have already posted questions to ask their questions.
Yeah, I posted my question to you.
Is it posted on the website?
Yes, sir, of course I did.
All right. So you are 25 years old. Your girlfriend is in USA. Go ahead.
And she's 45 years old, and she's applied for divorce. And, I want to apply for K-1 visa.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have a lot of, documents to show that we are in a relationship.
Let me tell you something. There is going to be a problem. I can almost guarantee it. Why? Because the lady is a lot older than you. Okay? What happens is, in cases like this, consulates always suspect fraud. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that it's impossible, but it's going to be very, very difficult. Have no doubts about that.
It's going to be very difficult because, we have a very strong tie-up. We do have a golf records. We do have, mails. We do have
all
postals.
All that is put in its place. But I'll tell you something. When consular officers get trained to detect fraud, having a woman much older than a foreign man is the first thing they look for. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that, there is not a genuine relationship here. I am telling you the way the counselor would look at it. Now, you can go, go in with your evidence. You can show them that you had a relationship for a while and that you've, you know, but it's all...
We have a relationship from past 1 year, actually.
Yeah, it all depends whether they accept it or not. I'm just cautioning you, it may not be as easy as you as it normally is. Okay?
Okay.
Anything else I can help you?
That's it. Nothing much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, any questions, anybody, go ahead and press star 5 on your phone. Star 5 on your phone. One question. Wow, business is slow today. What happened? Okay, here we go. Maybe you guys are just giving me the day off, huh? That's nice. 904, go ahead, please. Area code 904. Area code 904, say hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes, sir.
Sure, hi. This is Jehu. And I just want to have a follow-up on this one.
Uh-huh, bolo.
About the counselor processing. So basically, if I start a loan process now within a new company, is it going to take a lot of time or?
Well, if you start, let me try to understand your question. Your question is, if I start perm-based green card again through a new company, is that going to take a lot of time? Is that what you asked me?
Yeah.
Well, it all depends. If you get audited at the labor search stage, it could take a long time. If you don't get audited, you might be with an I-140 approval within a year in your hand, something like that.
I mean, my concern is if the visa has been rejected by an old employer, will they move the consular processing now?
So you're going to have to speak up. My ears are getting old. I'm not as young as I used to be. So just speak up a little bit.
My question is, if the visa is rejected first time for the same employer where I have an approved I-140, how will the consular processing work in this case?
So in other words, let me rephrase the question. What you're asking me is this. The fact that my H-1 through this company who has sponsored me for green card or who's going to sponsor me for green card was rejected, does that become a problem for my green card? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. True.
Okay. All right. The answer is it should not. It should not. But it depends. If the H-1 denial had something to do with green card or the availability of a job, it could come back and haunt you in the green card process. That is something you should discuss with your lawyers who are going to process the green card to make sure that you're not going to have a tremendous problem when you go for green card just because your H-1 was declined. Okay. Once again, normally it should not be a problem. Normally it should not be a problem, but discuss with your lawyer. It's a good idea.
Sure. Is there a way to get a business visa or a tourist visa to settle my dues and belongings here?
Arre bhai, that is so difficult to say because both tourist and business visas are completely upon the discretion of the consulate. You can certainly try. There is no harm in that. But there is no guarantee that you will get it. But there is also no guarantee that you will not get it. So you can try. You can let them know, listen, guys, I have to go wind up my affairs. My car is standing in the garage, whatever. You know, it's got to be done.
Yeah. True, absolutely. That's what the problems are.
Uh-huh. Koshish kari. Why not?
The rejections earlier are not going to have an impact. Basically, I can still apply for a tourist visa, right?
Absolutely. There is absolutely no bar in applying for a tourist or a business visa. No bar.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Good luck. Okay. Let's see. Area code 504. Go ahead, please. 504.
Hello, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Good afternoon, Rajivji. This is Sheikh. I am a former, past tri-value student.
Yes,
if you remember, I was pregnant. In every call, I used to tell that I was pregnant, so I could not travel at that time to India. At that time, I got an RFE, and I have submitted my RFE on May 2nd. Now I'm blessed with a baby boy, and I am planning to travel to India. I have got his PR code and everything, and I'm going this Sunday.
Can I ask you one question? Ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Do you have an NTA?
No, sir, I don't have an NTA.
Okay, good. Take care. Keep going.
Now I'm planning to go for H1 visa on 25th. So should I be withdrawing my application from here, from USCIS, or is it okay if I go and directly attend in India for H4?
If you have a reinstatement application pending, the moment you leave USA, that application is automatically cancelled.
Actually, I have applied for change of status to H4 in USA, sir.
Same thing.
So... there is no need for withdrawing anything.
You don't have to withdraw. You don't have to withdraw, but if you want to, that's your choice.
Okay. Sir, I have one more question. I'm going to have my H4 visa if everything goes well, if I get H4. And my husband is coming to India in H1, but he wants to return on advance payroll. Like, he will be entering in USA on advance payroll. Can I enter on H4 with the valid H4, sir?
I do not know of any law that says you cannot. I think you can. I don't see any problem with it.
Okay. So if he's entering on advanced payroll also, his H1 will be still valid.
That is correct, because there is a memorandum back from the 1980s called the Cronin Memorandum. If you go look in the forums, immigration.com forums, and do a search for Cronin, C as in Charlie, R O N as in Nancy, I N as in Nancy, Cronin. Mr. Cronin said that even if you enter on advanced parole, we consider you to be on H1 if you continue working with the same employer.
Okay, yeah, so I was a little worried
I have actually posted that memorandum in the forum somewhere a couple of times, actually.
Yes, sir. Just had these questions. Thank you so much.
And congratulations on the baby boy. Good job.
Thank you so much.
इतनी देर से आप हम लोगों को धमकी दे रही हैं कि हमारा बेबी होने वाला है. You get it?
Yeah, बहुत डर रहे थे हम because हमारा पहला था तो हम बहुत डर रहे थे. Every call I used to tell you this that I
know. I thought. आप इतनी देर से हमको धमका रही हैं तो finally you materialize on that.
Yeah. Yes, of course. I hope this H4 also gets stamped and everything goes well.
God willing, it will happen. Why won't it? I think H4s are usually the easiest visas to get. Usually.
Yeah, I have heard from few of them in the mails that they had little problems with the immigration.
Well, let me tell you something. The rule for consular processing is very simple. Everybody should make a note of this. Never volunteer information and never lie. जो पूछा ना जाए उसका जवाब मत दीजिए. वट एवर दे हैव नॉट आस्क्ड डोंट रिस्पॉन्ड, बट वट एवर दे डू आस्क आंसर ट्रूथफुली.
जी सर.
दोज आर द टू गोल्डन रूल्स. ओके
जी सर.
गुड लक.
श्योर.
बाय बाय.
थैंक यू सो मच.
माय प्लेजर.
बाय बाय सर.
ओके, आई हैव थ्री मोर क्वेश्चन, फोर मोर क्वेश्चन. लेट्स स्टार्ट विद माई ओन नेबरहुड. एरिया कोड 703. गो अहेड प्लीज.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Jay. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you.
Yeah. First of all, this is a great thing that you're doing. It's a great community service.
My pleasure.
My question is, actually, I applied for a green card for my mother. I'm a U.S. citizen.
Yes.
My mother came here on Vistra Visa in May, and I applied for I-130 and I-485 concurrently in August.
Very good.
The question is, her I-94 is expiring in November.
Achha, abhi ek second rukiye. Your question must be, do I need to extend her tourist visa?
Right.
Okay. Have you received back a receipt of your I-485, I-130?
Yes, I got the receipt of I-130 and 485. Her
okay, wait. The fact that you have filed her 485... entitles her to stay in USA. There is no need to extend her tourist visa.
Okay, good. So whether her I-130 is pending or not approved yet?
It doesn't matter. Because if the 485 is pending, she is in what is called authorized period of stay.
Okay.
But she is authorized to stay in the United States.
So as long as I-485 is pending, whether it takes 1 year or more,
whether it takes 15 years,
status, right?
She's entitled to stay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right.
Great.
Good luck to you. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Next question is area code 208. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv. My name is Reema. This is a follow-up question that I have from AGA 2003 that you answered in the beginning. So this is about the F2 and the H1 visa that you answered. So my follow-up question is that since my husband is not in U.S. and he is on a one-year cooling off period in India, which ends on February 2012, so can he apply for F2 before that, or he has to apply after that,
after
February of 2012?
The period that he has to be outside USA for 1 year, that period is there just to reset the H-1 clock. He can enter USA on any visa he likes. Okay.
Okay. So he can apply for F2.
There is no bar on entering on other visas. It's just that if he enters too early, then he doesn't get his 6 years of H-1 back.
Okay.
That's the only harm.
Okay.
Okay, once he's completed his 366 days outside USA, he can enter on any visa. He can enter on any visa now also, but then he doesn't get his 6 years back.
Okay, and for example, if he applies for F2 and it gets rejected, then can he apply for H1 again, like after February?
Absolutely.
I mean, how long should he wait until he should apply
absolutely.
Before he should apply for H1?
He can apply for H1 anytime after February.
Uh-huh.
The denial of an earlier F2 has no bearing on an H1 unless the denial was for fraud or misrepresentation.
Okay, so you don't think that we should wait for a couple of months or 4 months or something like that?
You should not wait for even 2 hours.
Okay, and just another question, like a vice versa, like his company is planning to apply for his H1 after February, and just in case if that gets denied, he can apply for F2, and whether we should wait or not?
You don't have to wait, but F2 is a much weaker visa than an H1, generally speaking, because F2s can be denied upon discretion. H1s have to be, at least in the books, H1s have to be denied for a reason.
Uh-huh. So F2, you think, is a weaker visa,
Much weaker visa.
Mm-hmm.
Much, much weaker visa, yes.
So you suggest that we should wait and apply for H1 rather than applying for hurry up with the F2?
I think it's a good idea to just apply for an H1 directly, but, you know, it's so difficult to predict how these things are going to turn out. These days, let me ask you this question. If he does apply for an H1, will it be for a client site, or will he be working in-house at a company?
So he's working in Wipro for India, and then when he applies, the Wipro applies for H1, he has to come here and work for a client that Wipro works with.
Well, Wipro is a big enough company. I think he should do an H1 first and see how that plays out.
Okay, because we were wondering if we can apply for F2, and when he comes here, we can probably apply for a change of status.
I normally prefer that because H1s are so difficult to get, especially where there's client side involved. But because Wipro is a reasonably big company, and I should assume that they know how to set up the paperwork, so there's no problem. But again, if I had any doubts that the H1 will be granted, then I would prefer that he try an F2 first.
Okay, because his company is sending him to UK, so he'll be going to UK for like 3 months or something, and then you said that he can apply for a visa from UK, so he will probably be applying from there, and then directly come from UK to US.
It's a tough call, Reemaji. I don't know if I can give you a very easy answer whether F2 first is a good idea, H1 first is a good idea. It's a difficult call. I was inclined to go with H1 because the company is fairly large, but if you decided to go for an F2 first, I think that's perfectly okay too. Personal choice. I really don't have one preference over another.
Okay, and it doesn't matter if you're applying in UK or India.
I don't think it should matter. I hear a gentleman in the background. Is that your husband?
Yeah, that's my husband. He's on conference call from India. He cannot ask directly. Maybe he should ask. Okay. Go ahead, Ashish.
Haji. Ashish, sir, bolye.
Hi, Rajiv. Thank you for all the information. I think, I understand that there is a bit unclear about, which visa we should apply for. So, do you have any idea about, what is the latest status on visa rejections? I have heard, I have been going through...
very high rejection.
Very hard on what?
Very high rejection of H-1 visas where client-side placement is involved.
Okay.
So, they are denying visas for absolutely no reason at all.
No, but like, you know, see, the thing is, like, there are two questions about, like, the visa rejections right now. One is, like, you know, the F2. First of all, because, like, you know, my wife is over there and the husband is outside. So would the F2 be more probable for rejection in this case versus, like, you know, if I would have been over there and then my wife would have been in India?
That doesn't matter. What matters is there is one plus and one negative for both visas. The plus for F2 is that F2s are not any more difficult than they used to be yesterday. Okay? That's the plus. The negative is F2 visa is discretionary. They can decline it for a number of reasons. For H1, the plus is H1 is a very strong visa. The negative is H1 visas in general are much more difficult than they were yesterday.
Okay.
So we have a plus and a minus on both sides. I don't see any harm in trying an F2 first, and I don't see any harm in waiting and see what happens on an H1 first also. It's a very difficult call. I really cannot give you a good answer because there is no good answer. You could go.
Okay, let me ask you this thing. So if I were to take a F2 visa right now, like, you know, maybe if I'm going to UK and I apply for F2 visa and I get it, now company applies the H-1B in February or March or January, whatever, and then their H-1B gets rejected. So I think as per your answer, I can still come to US on F-2.
Yes, sir, you can.
And can I apply for H-1B again with some other client or with some other company?
You absolutely can, no problem.
Okay. But, like, is F2 to H1B, is there a problem because, like, you know, of the intent that, like, you know, the person is trying to immigrate? Like, you know, the immigrate itself is, like, you know, is very complicated. Like, it means
no,
if a person is
no,
coming to U.S., it's basically
no, there
immigration.
Is, there is no such issue in converting from F2 to H1. The only issue is of timing. If you enter USA today on F2 and you apply for a change to H1 more than 60 days, earlier than 60 days after you enter, that can become a problem. But after a couple of months, having entered USA on F2, you can apply for an H1.
Okay, that's very helpful. That deadline of 60 days is quite helpful.
They call it an issue of preconceived intention. That if somebody enters on a non-work visa with a preconceived intention to convert to another long-term work visa, then they obviously used the non-work visa improperly.
That's okay. Rajiv, I just had another question after your conversation. Is that so? UK, going to UK and applying there shouldn't be a problem, right? I mean, small-term UK visa shouldn't be any problem with this, right?
Absolutely. There is no law that says you can't apply in a third country.
Okay, that's fine.
But for stamping, I need to come to India, right?
No, you can do it in UK.
Even for H-1B also?
Even for H-1B also.
Okay.
Good luck. Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rajiv. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Okay, I have three more questions. Let's 201, area code 201, go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Drew again with the porting question.
With the what question?
The porting question, the third question.
Oh, yes, of course. Go ahead.
I just had another quick follow-up question, though. Let's say if the porting goes through and everything works fine, should I join this new employer after the 140 gets approved, or should I wait until the 485 gets approved? And then
that's an option you have. You can go either way. It certainly is easier if you join them earlier.
Okay, cool. All right, thank
Good
you.
Luck. You're welcome. Okay, boys and girls, two more questions, and then we are done. 609, go ahead, please. 609.
Hi, yes. Hi, Raju. This is Anand.
Yes, Anand.
And my question is regarding green card through self-petition, you know. my wife, she's a PhD, she got like presentations, and she got like 2 awards also. Can she apply for a EB1?
That's not enough information. Do me a favor.
Uh-huh.
You can use my email address, which is easy enough, help@immigration.com.
Uh-huh.
And forward me her resume.
Oh, okay.
Let me take a look at it. And we don't charge for reviewing resumes. So let me take a look at it. If there's any chance, I will have my office make an appointment with your wife and you, and then we can talk about it.
Yeah. Can you give me the email address, please, once more?
Very easy. Help, as in Madad.
Uh-huh.
Help. Help@immigration.com.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Raju.
You're welcome.
And one more quick question is that, like, do you have any idea about the, like, this is a fortune question, you know, for the demand data, it's going to be, now the EB2 is like 1,275. Is there any chance that it is going to come like 2010 December or something?
In my office, all the other lawyers think that it's going to get faster. I don't have any such hopes, but we'll see. I hope I'm wrong.
Okay, thank you very much, Raju.
You're welcome, sir. Good luck.
Okay.
Okay, I thought I was done, but I guess there are 3 more people after this one, so we'll keep going. Area code 937, go ahead, please. 937.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I would like to ask you if a person from India and a person from the United States want to get married, is the age difference make the paper no work? Or?
Ma'am, do you have are you seeing somebody who's 20 years younger than you?
Oh, no, he's 25.
And you are 45?
About.
Yeah, he just asked me the same question. He was on this call just 2 minutes ago.
Oh, no, I did not ask. This is the first time I ever asked you. I mean...
No, but the gentleman from India just called.
Okay.
He asked me the same question. And I told him that age can become a problem, yes. Because unfortunately, if the lady is a lot older than the gentleman, then the consulate gets very suspicious.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
I see. Okay.
But, you know, it's worth trying. As long as you have a genuine relationship, it's definitely worth trying.
I'm sorry, say it again.
As long as you have a genuine relationship.
Yes.
It is definitely worth trying.
Is the difference what?
Definitely worth trying.
Okay.
You should try, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, so we have 3 more questions. I guess this is Connecticut. Area code 203, go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajaji. Thank you for the service. I'm a student of UNVA. Currently, I'm on OPT extension right now. My OPT is valid till end of December 2012. So recently I have applied for H-1B and I have got a RFE asking for residence proof in Virginia and then CPT employer agreement between my employer and university.
Well, first of all, I think that CPT agreement is nonsense. There is no such requirement in law.
Okay. And my question is that, so I didn't stay in Virginia. I stayed in New Jersey and we use it to travel on Friday night and then or Saturday morning and attend class on Saturday and Sunday and visit to get back to New Jersey. I don't have any address proof in Virginia.
That's okay. So then you tell them you must have your tickets and, you know, the fact that you purchased tickets. Did you drive or did you take the train?
Sometimes, yeah. I do have some Greyhound tickets with me for some semester.
Then you show them those tickets and you did what you did. It's all right.
Yeah, and another question is that I have I did job in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I did a job in CPT. I have worked for 9 months on CPT, and I worked in Boston and North Carolina. So will they ask any questions on that?
as long as you were authorized to work for that particular employer, why not?
Okay, so that will not cause any problem, right? So working out of Virginia.
No, if they gave you a CPT for a particular employer, I don't see any problem with it.
Okay, and I don't have any, except for W-2, I don't have any residence proof for in Boston or North America, North Carolina.
Have they asked you for it?
They did not ask for address proof. They asked
if
for
they have, if they have not asked for it, why worry about it?
Okay. And another thing, like thinking as the worst case scenario, right? So if my, like worst case scenario, if my H-1B gets rejected, right, will that affect my OPT also?
They can cancel your OPT. I don't know if they will. I would have no way of knowing that.
Okay. So with the evidences, right, so is it better to proceed in replying the RFP or can I withdraw the RFP? So what do you suggest?
Well,
I have OPT till end of next year.
You can have your employer withdraw the H-1. I am not sure I can make that decision for you. Your lawyers have to decide that.
Okay. So, and if I withdraw the petition, right, so my thinking is that so I have OPT till end of next year. So is it a good option to withdraw and then apply for H-1 next year?
I don't think it's a bad thought, but the decision has to come from your lawyers. I cannot decide that for you.
Okay. So as I'm on OPT, right, if they are not willing to withdraw, I can change employer, right? I can join.
You should have them withdraw because if the case goes forward and USCIS approves your change of status, then you will no longer have OPT.
Okay. Okay. So that one I can track from USCIS case status, right, if they proceed, if they didn't withdraw and if they...
Unreliable way of proceeding, but yes, certainly, hopefully, it'll have the right information for you.
Okay. All right. That's all. So that's my question. Thank you very much, Rajaji, for providing the service.
You're welcome. Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's see. Area code 216. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Sir, I came to U.S. in January of 2009 to a state university, sir. And in March of 2010, I transferred to Tri-Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with Tri-Valley till July. And after July, I moved back to another accredited university in Virginia, and I completed my degree there this June.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after completing it in June, I applied for OPT and I got an RFE on OPT asking for the transcripts from Tri-Valley and also the proof that I have attended the accredited university.
Mm-hmm.
Because my university was in Virginia and I used to live in Cleveland. So I used to commute to Virginia every week from September 2010 to March, to June 2011. I was in Tri-Valley from March to August, sir, of 2010. Sir, since they have given the RFE and I've also seen that most of the Tri-Valley students have their reinstatements reply with NOID.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, can I withdraw my OPT application and join in another university just to maintain status? Or can USCIS block that move saying first you have to give me transcripts from Tri-Valley and only after that we'll authorize?
They can block the move. It depends upon how tough they want to get. Merely withdrawing does not guarantee that your future will be smooth.
Oh.
It may be, but there's no guarantee.
Okay, so even if I withdraw my OPT application and try to transfer to another university, they can come after me and cancel my visa?
They can, yes.
Oh, okay. Sir, one more question is, if I apply for H-1 right now, can they deny my H-1 saying that I was not in status while I was student at Tri-Valley?
They cannot deny your H-1. They can deny your change of status.
Oh, okay. So I have to go to India back.
That means they approve the H-1, but they make you go outside USA for visa stamping.
Oh, so go out to India for visa stamping, sir?
Normally, yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Right. So there is no guarantee. So they can, even if I withdraw my OPT, if they want, they can definitely come after me and terminate my service.
They can.
Oh, okay. is there any, sir, will, do you, like, I do you advise, what is your advice, sir, like, do you advise me to apply for H1 or,
I really don't have any solid piece of advice for you. No matter what you do, there are pros and cons. I would suggest you speak with your H1 lawyers, help them, or take their help in making a decision on what they think is best for you.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. Last call of the day. Area code 732. Go ahead, please. 1 second. 732, go ahead, please. Area code, oops. Let's try again. Area code 732, go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv. My name is Kiran, and I'm a student of UNVA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently working on CPT, full-time CPT from last 9 months, and I have a situation where, like, my CPT is valid till December 22nd, and right now I have only 2 months left out, and my employer is in process of applying for H1, as well as I'm in process of applying for OPT.
Mm-hmm.
So, would there be any kind of conflict if I apply for both at the same time?
Well, the only conflict is if your, let me rephrase that. If your H1 gets approved before the OPT, the OPT is up. Okay? If your H1 gets approved after the OPT, your OPT is out again.
Oh, okay. But they won't deny both of them, right? Like, because since I'm applying for both of them, they won't deny both of them?
I don't see how they can, no.
See, okay, and the other thing... Yeah,
go ahead, please.
Yeah, I mean, like, is there a thing like if my employer applies a H1 for me, do I need to go out of country for stamping and come back since I'm moving from F1 to H1?
Normally, that is not so, but if they consider you to be out of status because of UNVA, they can make you go outside USA. That is correct.
Okay. So, no matter what, like, even if I'm in OPT or CPT, OPT or H1, the same thing would apply just in case they consider...
No. They
like,
think, look, OPT will not be granted if you are out of status, because OPT requires that you must be in student status for... I think 9 months before you file the application, at least 2 full semesters.
Yeah, I mean, like, I completed my 3 semesters, then only applied for OPT, CPT.
Yeah, my point is, if during those 3 semesters they think that you are out of status, they will not give you...
No, that was never the case,
No, that's what you think. If they say, well, you didn't attend classes, or you attended classes remotely... Then you're out of status. If you're out of status, you can't get OPT.
Okay. Yeah, and the other thing is, would the part-time CPT consider towards the OPT 11 months or...
I do not believe
considered?
So. I do not believe so, no, sir. I don't think so.
It wouldn't be considered?
No.
Okay. And, what would be the documentation which you suggest me, apart from the, if I'm applying for H1, apart from my client required documentation, from the school perspective, what are the documentation which you think I need to...
They'll send you a love letter soon enough. They'll tell you exactly what they need from you. Typically, they ask for things like, show us where you lived, show us copies of the books that you bought or the receipts of the books that you bought, how many courses did you attend, how did you attend them. They'll ask for transcripts, so they'll send you a love letter. They'll let you know what they need.
Because I'm still in the school and I'm in last semester, so I'm still doing
the
same thing.
They will let
like
you know what they
commute.
Need. They will let you know what they need.
Okay.
All right.
So, is there something called as a pre-OPT and post-OPT which would be beneficial just in case, if I'm not applying for OPT and I'm just waiting for my H1 and it's just crossing 12 months, then
I'm not aware of anything.
Like,
I don't know of anything called pre-OPT. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
There is no such thing. All right.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Rajiv.
You're welcome.
Hi, Rajiv.
Yeah.
I'm his sister, actually. I have one more question from your conversation. Actually, I think his employer is applying his H1 in a regular, like, not his, they're putting his master's certificate. So it's in, not in master's quota. So is it still fine?
I don't know what the numbers are. This morning they released some numbers. I think there's still enough quota left from what I know. Yeah.
What I'm asking is, like, he's a student of University of Northern Virginia, but his employer is based upon his bachelor's degree. So
no,
in
I
this
understand
case, if
I understood your question, ma'am.
So if his H1 gets approved, he has to go and then come back to the States, and then only he can work on H1?
I don't know the answer to that question. That depends upon whether or not they consider him to be in status right now.
Okay.
If they consider him to be out of status, they will make him go outside.
Okay. Who will let us know that? I mean, once
when the H1 is filed, USCIS, if they want to question his status, they will send you a RFE, a request for evidence.
Okay. Okay, but once he's approved, then he's legally allowed to work here, right?
Once he has his H-1 approval as well as I-94, he is legally authorized to work for that employer in that location at that job, yes.
Okay. And one more quick question. He's asking about his part-time CPT consideration. I have a question regarding that. He has his full-time CPT has started from last December, and it is valid till this year, December. Before last year, December, he worked on a part-time CPT for a couple of months. So would it be fine? Is he still can work until this December?
As long as the CPT is not revoked, I don't see any reason why not.
Because his university DSO said that part-time CPT is not considered, and full-time CPT 12 months is the eligibility for OPT. So we are just
I have no idea. I would not know. I don't know that granularity of detail. DSOs are supposed to know all that. So I would take his word for it.
Okay, but if we get the approval from DSO, then it's fine for us, right?
They are supposed to be acting on behalf of the USCIS. Yes, I hope so.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks, Rajiv.
You're welcome. Good luck, guys.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Thank you all for being here. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.